The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. They had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus enjoined them, "Watch out and guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They concluded among themselves that it was because they had no bread. When he became aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you conclude it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear? Do you not remember when I broke five loaves for 5,000 people? How many wicker baskets full of fragments did you pick up?" They answered, 12. "When I broke seven loaves for 4,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up?" And they answered, 7. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" The Gospel of the Lord. Now, this Gospel probably needs much more time to understand the richness and the gift of it, more time than we have here. But let me just offer a few insights into it. In the Gospel of Mark and in Matthew, there are two feedings of the multitude, one of 5,000, one of 4,000, one of the Jews, the 5,000, and a Gentile feeding of the 4,000, which happens in a different place. In John chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 9, there's only one, and that's the feeding of the Jews, the 5,000. The only thing I want to mention about the feeding of the multitude is that it's a type, which means it's kind of an example of a prediction of the Eucharist, the miracle. Of the feeding is meant to be an insight into the later theology, the theology of the Eucharist. That's very clear in chapter 6 in John's Gospel. He uses the feeding to teach us about the Eucharist. We must remember that in a feeding of the multitudes, there are two things that are remarkable. One is the abundance, the richness, the lavish generosity of the miracle, so much so that there are baskets left over. Cardinal Manning used to think that the baskets left over were a symbol of those who should have been at the meal, and they were missed, so the baskets were there. The second thing that's remarkable about the feeding is that everybody was fed. There was no qualification. If you are hungry, you are fed. I'll settle on that for the feeding of the multitude, because what happens after is what appears in this gospel. And Jesus speaks about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. To understand the way they understood it, they could see things we can't see. But to understand the implications of the leaven, which is the yeast, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod, we have to go back into Jewish history and understand the presence of yeast or leaven. Go back and read chapter 12 in the book of Genesis, which is the Exodus. And you remember the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, and the Jews had to organize very, very fast and get out of town, get out of Egypt, just in one night. And therefore, they had no time to put yeast in the bread and get the bread to rise. And therefore, they had bread without leaven, without any yeast. Therefore, they have, at the Passover today, you have matzah bread, which is bread without leaven. And of course, when we had the Last Supper, Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, it was unleavened bread, which is the bread we use for our Eucharist today. It's unleavened bread. Originally, the reason for the lack of yeast in the bread was that they were in a hurry. They had no time to allow the yeast to raise the bread. However, over a period of time, yeast became a symbol of sin. There was something about it that it was considered that it caused a decay in the dough, and therefore it became a symbol for sin. So beware of the sin of the Pharisees, the rigorous legalistic Pharisees, and the dominant power of a Herod. They don't understand the lavish generosity of Jesus. They don't understand the miracle. They don't understand the embrace of Jesus without exception. They don't understand that. Don't allow them to diminish the wonder of the miracle. The extraordinary statement of God's embrace and God's generosity will not be seen by the Pharisees or by Herod. So his caution is, don't be restricted in your understanding of God's infinite embrace and infinite generosity. Don't allow the lack of belief in Jesus Christ, which is personalized here in the Pharisees and in Herod, don't allow the lack of faith in God's revelation in Jesus Christ to be diminished by Pharisees or by Herod. That's the teaching of this. And rather interestingly, in tomorrow's gospel, we'll continue here with Mark. And I won't be doing this Mass tomorrow. I know I'm listed to do it, but I have a morning appointment at 7 o'clock, so I'll be doing the 6:20. But tomorrow, we're going to have this, the only miracle in all four Gospels that happens gradually. It happens at Bethsaida, and it's a blind man, and Jesus heals him of his blindness, but it happens gradually, which is meant to follow this, to say your faith grows gradually. Now, for some people, extraordinary, I'll get enlightened, and all of a sudden, I'm mystical. That's not us. Our faith grows. We make mistakes. We misunderstand. But don't be diminished. Don't be restricted by the leaven of the Pharisees. And even, you know, in the Jewish tradition today, and the Passover, and now in every Passover, every house has to get rid of all the leaven. It has to be cleared out, so that somehow you will begin to grasp the instant, wonderful, lavish presence of God in the Exodus 1,200 years before Christ, and in the abundance of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the center of our prayer. Therefore, to grasp a theology of Eucharist that expresses the wonder of God's love, it's something we have to strive for all the time. And even I say Mass every day for 58 years, but just don't become so familiar with the Eucharist, me, you, each of us, so that we lose the miracle, the extraordinary statement of God's love for us, God's embrace and God's touch, the gift of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer.